This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the American Monetary Association's podcast, where we explore how monetary policy impacts the real lives of real people and the action steps necessary to preserve wealth and enhance one's lifestyle.
Welcome to the show. This is Jason Hartman, your host, and every 10th episode, we do something kind of special, kind of different. What we do is we go off topic. So regardless of which show it is on the Hartman Media Network, whether it be one of the financial shows, economics, real estate investing, travel, longevity, all of the other topics that we have, every 10th episode, we go off topic and we explore something of general interest, something of general life success value. And so many of our listeners around the world in 164 countries have absolutely loved our 10th episode shows. So that's what we're going to do today. And let's go ahead and get to our guest with a special 10th episode show. And of course, on the next episode, we'll be back to our regular programming. Here we go. It's my pleasure to welcome back a returning guest, and that is Joan Sotkin. She is a student of prosperity and money habits. And today we are going to talk about rewiring your brain for prosperity and financial freedom. She's the founder of Prosperity Place, and it's a pleasure to have her back on the show. Joan, welcome. How are you?
Great. It's great to be here.
Yeah, likewise. Where are you located?
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Ah, beautiful place. I was just there last year for, maybe the third time. So, you know, this money issue, it just plagues people, Joan. It's something that, you know, we all wrestle with. Prosperous, aspirational, you know, no matter where we are in life, I think we all kind of wrestle with money issues at one time or another. What's it all about? I mean, can we really change or is change the wrong word for what we need to do to attain the prosperity we want to attain in life?
We can alter our habits. And what I say often is money issues are never about money. Money is a very neutral thing. It's just pieces of paper, numbers on a computer. Our feelings about money, our issues about money, are what we bring to money. So if you're looking at your bank account and you're going, oh my God, I really should have more. People my age are doing better. Look at John down the street. He's doing so much better than I am. That has nothing to do with money. That has to do with your feelings about yourself and the place in the world. So if you can understand that it's never about money and you ask yourself, well, what is it about? Then you can begin to unravel it and decide what has to be altered in order to move forward. I was just speaking to someone today who contacted me. She said, I have this pattern I have to get rid of. And I explained to her that you can't get rid of a pattern. You have to alter the pattern. And the pattern is not something easy. We're complicated beings. So she thought it was all about loss because she was adopted and her father left and she didn't talk to him for a year and all that stuff. And by the time we finished talking, I saw that it was far more than that, and that being a person who experienced that much loss had become so much a part of her identity that it would be hard for her to give up that idea. I also showed her that she didn't have a lot of trust, that she had a disappointment habit, that everything she did wound up in disappointment. So it's not about the money, it's about the disappointment, and where does that come from? And it comes from how she was treated or experiences in early childhood.
Yeah, so money is a fantastic medium for exchange, obviously, and for keeping score, if you will. But money is just neutral, like you say. It's just the result of these other things. So what do we do about that? And before you answer, one of the things that is a common thing I've heard from various success mentors in my life is you don't change a habit, you replace a habit. You know, the old habit that's the quote unquote bad habit, right? You replace it with a good new one. So let's delve into that a little more too.
Okay. And you cannot stop doing something. You have to replace it with something else. So the thing that I use, the protocol that I use, is recognize, release, replace, and repeat. It's all based on brain science. What you do on a daily basis, how you think, what you believe, your emotional responses to familiar stimuli, those are all habits. So in order to change your life outcomes, because those are the things that go into your decision making, and it's your decisions that determine your life outcomes. So if your decisions aren't taking you where you want to go, then you have to say, okay, what are the thinking, feeling, and belief habits that go into those decisions? I think it's easier to look at feelings because they're what happens within us every day, along with thoughts. You can do that too. So let's say, since a lot of people don't want to go where the emotions are, they want to do thoughts. So you wake up in the morning and you say, God, I really don't want to do this, and I'm not sure I can do this right. And you begin to see that your pattern is picking on yourself all day long. Well, that can change. You can change that. So once you make the commitment and you decide how you want to change that, you can't just say, I want to change it. I want it to change. You have to say, well, this is what I'm going to do instead. When I start picking on myself, I'm just going to tell myself I'm doing a great job. And if you tell yourself you're doing a great job 20 times a day, that's going to have a different outcome than telling yourself that you're not doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. Okay. Give us some examples. I mean, you gave us one of how we can replace. So when it comes to money, I always spend too much. I don't work hard enough, or I'm not working smart enough, or why did I sabotage myself in that business deal? These kind of conversations, I think, are somewhat common for people. What do we replace them with? We've got to replace, right?
Right.
So how do we replace them?
Okay, so first of all, you tell yourself, it's never about money. And if it's not about money, what is it about? So you ask yourself, what am I feeling? And I'll explain, if you don't have a good feeling vocabulary, what to do. What am I feeling? When have I felt it before? What would I rather be feeling? And do I know how to feel that? Do you see that?
Interesting.
That structure?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So do you know how to feel, for example, like, the old dichotomy of with money and resources in general is the abundance mentality versus the scarcity mentality, right? So do I know how to feel that the world is an abundant place? Maybe some people don't even know how to grasp that idea, right?
But then you're focusing on the money again, the abundance.
Okay.
All right. It's never about money. What you're probably feeling is unloved, untouched, alone, disconnected. The main feelings that people act out through their money are aloneness, deprivation, anger, shame, and a sense of being trapped. And if you think back to a 2-year-old child who is being abused in any way, shape, or form, if they're being told that I'm disappointed in you and you've got to do what I want you to do, not what you want to do, that kid's going to feel trapped, very often is going to feel angry, is going to feel ashamed of who he or she is. And those are the emotional habits that start very early. If I'm brought up in a family where I'm shamed over and over again, I have no idea what it feels like to be not shamed. Can you see that?
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Okay. I love to work with money because it brings up so many emotions. So when you look at your bank balance, now a lot of people don't have a feeling vocabulary. So I merely ask them to close their eyes and kind of feel where they are internally. Do they feel contracted or expanded? And most people, when they look at their bank balance, they feel contracted. They're not going, oh, wow, look at my bank balance. Wowee. People with money issues aren't happy with where they are. So, okay, so you feel contracted. Now, contracted is a pretty general term, but it can have an individual meaning. So I'll say, okay, when did you feel that before? And almost everyone comes up with some kind of story. Oh, I felt like that when my parents were fighting or when I was getting beat up or something like that. And just remembering that and taking it away from the money is an important step. And then I have a number of techniques that I teach people on how to release feelings. The easiest one is, okay, what are you feeling? I'm feeling contracted. Where are you feeling that? Oh, I feel it in my gut. Okay, put your hand over your gut and make the sound of the feeling. Now, a lot of people will start out with, little tiny sounds. But the idea is to get to the point where you're really expressing the feeling through sound. And that will actually shift it. That has a release experience because emotions by their nature need to be expressed. It's these neuropeptides in your body that have to be released from the receptors. And then you say to yourself, what would I rather be feeling? Well, I'd rather feel confident. Do I know how to feel confident? Oh, well, if generally I don't, we try to take them back to some time in their life when they felt okay about themselves. And that's the feeling they want to practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
The one of the most common feelings that people act out through their money is disappointment. Oh, I just am not where I want to be. I did this business deal and it fell apart. I'm so disappointed. Well, what would you rather feel? Would you like to feel satisfied? It's amazing how many people never feel satisfied. They always think they need a little more in order to be satisfied. When in fact, if you have a dissatisfaction habit, you'll never be satisfied unless you make an effort to alter that.
So is there such thing as constructive discontent, or where do we go? Like, that's a continuum, right? I mean, there's sort of like gratitude. It's almost like a triangle, maybe. I don't know how to express it, but you know, there's all these different things, right? There's like gratitude, right? And then there's just general apathy and laziness. And then there's constructive discontent, which I guess most people would consider positive. And then there's just discontent no matter what, where, you know, you could be a multi-billionaire and you're still discontent and feel that the world owes you a living, you know, or whatever, right?
Yes. And I had a spiritual teacher who called it divine discontent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you're getting that internal urge to go do something that's farther away from where you are, or I'm doing this, but I know there's something else I should be doing for me. If the focus is money, it's not going to work. You know, if your only value in life is money, I think that's a problem because you're not working for money. You're working for something else that the money will buy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually a feeling you're going after. I want to have this big house that costs all this money to keep up and everything. Why? And people don't ask themselves the why. And very often it's because they want to feel accepted by a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you can feel loved, accepted, acknowledged, and appreciated within yourself, you're going to be fine because you're not looking for that external validation. Mm-hmm. That's what gets people in trouble, is when they're comparing themselves to other people, when they're looking for that external validation, which is the definition of codependency.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can look at your life and say, gee, you know, I've made it this far and I've really accomplished something in my life. I can be satisfied with where I am and still have hopes for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But the hopes for the future don't have to be coupled with dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you see that?
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. What else should people know about this? We've sort of gone down maybe a couple of roads on it, but I'm sure there's more. So maybe, you know, if you want to take us in a completely different direction on the topic, feel free.
Well, first of all, the most important thing to remember is there are two things. You've never done anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with you that needs fixing. And it's never about money. And if you can remember those things, you're going to ask yourself some questions. So I think that's really important. For me, I think we're more than our work, our money, our accomplishments. To me, I happen to be on a metaphysical and spiritual path for a really long time. And in my life, that makes a difference. Some people couldn't care less. But I think it's really important to spend some time alone with yourself, where you're just willing to sit and do nothing. doing nothing is actually doing something, because you can't actually do nothing.
Right.
It's doing something. So to spend some time, some inner time with yourself, mm-hmm. so that when you are doing in the world, that you're doing it from more of a being space than I have to do this kind of thing. You know, we're brought up as children to believe that we have to do what our parents say. We have to obey. We have to do this. We have to do that. Well, in fact, you can make up your own rules, but you can't find out what those rules are until you're silent with yourself for some time on a regular basis. I also think that exercise is really important, and eating the right foods. I mean, we're beings riding around in this very expensive machine called the body, and I think you have to take care of it, because that affects your moods as well.
Yeah, no question about it. The body is, it's a feedback mechanism, and it goes both directions. We can't do good if we don't feel good, and we don't feel good when we're not doing good. And so it's kind of this vicious circle. I do know how to talk.
I'm coming from a place where I was sick for many years. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a period where I could barely get from my bedroom to my living room.
Wow.
And when the doctor told me I would never be healthy, I just said, that's not going to be my story.
Yeah.
And since I couldn't do much, but I could read, I read every book I could on physiology, mm-hmm. and microbiology, yeah. and nutrition.
It's like the Norman Cousins story, you know, that's great. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. And I just figured out how it works. I mm-hmm. don't think the doctors really understand mm-hmm. how our emotions affect our body.
Yeah. Well, that's not a very Western medicine type concept, is it?
I know. Well, yeah. that's why I don't. Right? I generally don't go to Western doctors.
Yeah.
And so there's so much about us that we can learn if you're willing to be curious and to understand that there is a solution to every problem. Mm-hmm. The people who are successful are problem solvers, not problem makers. Mm-hmm. They see problems as opportunities and challenges, and they don't take no for an answer. You know, it's when I say don't take no, there is sometimes when someone says no and you have to believe them. But it's like when the doctor said to me, you can never be healthy, I could have become a very ugly person internally, where I believed that life was against me and look what I was dealt. And no, I said, okay, how do I make myself healthy? I bought myself a medical textbook and figured out how to fix it. There is a solution to just about every problem.
Yeah, no question about it. And a lot of it is psychosomatic when it comes to the health stuff. And it's just funny how, well, it's not funny, it's tragic, actually. Let's use the proper words here, but how some of us, and, you know, I'm sure we've all done it one way or another, because you get something for it. You get attention or sympathy or whatever, right? But, you know, I mean, I know people, Joan, that are, they're sort of always, they've always got an ailment, and they're constantly talking to everybody about it. And you know, and all these people that they're talking to about it, they can't help. They're not doctors. They're not, you know, they're not people that can help, but they keep telling themselves they're sick or they've got this little ailment, and the little ailments love that, and they reward them by just becoming great friends with them and visiting often.
Well, that's the whole site. There's a whole science called psychoneuroimmunology.
Yeah, I know. And psychosomatic medicine is part of it. Yeah.
And it's the same thing with money and investments.
Yeah.
If you're going, oh, I never have what I want, I'm always broke, well, you're telling your subconscious that that's what you want to create for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of fool yourself. When I was really sick, I would do this affirmation hours a day. I'm perfectly healthy and I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned when I could finally start walking, as I walked, I would go, yes, 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 mm-hmm. yes. And I definitely got my attention from being sick. And once I recognized that it was the only way that I got touched and mm-hmm. I really needed touch, well, I found other ways of getting what I need. But if you're not willing to make those alterations in how you think, what you believe, and how you feel, you're going to stay where you are forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The story may change. The story may change. But it's not going to change a lot unless you notice what you want to change. It's like with goal setting. you know, in business, everybody talks about setting your goals and put a time thing and all this SMART goal thing and everything. And it's setting goals for who you are, mm-hmm. who you want to be in the world. You're not your pain. You're not your sickness. You're not your what you look like. Who is that being deep inside of you who's trying to express itself creatively in the world? Give yourself a chance to find out what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Joan, before we wrap it up, I want to ask you to share maybe like a specific example that I see somewhat regularly with real estate investors, for example. And one of my companies, we help people become direct investors nationwide in income properties. And it's amazing to me how people will come to us with these big dreams and big plans. And then it seems like the first little bump in the road can just, I mean, this is not common, thankfully, but it can just derail their whole plan. It amazes me how you had this little problem. Okay, it cost you some time. You express some aggravation about it, cost you some money. And then it's like, oh, forget about this. The whole plan, that whole real estate investing thing, forget about it. Even though, of course, tens of millions of people in the United States have become very wealthy through real estate investing and countless more around the world. What do you say to that? What do you do about that?
Well, first of all, a person who has a habit of being unsuccessful is threatened by being successful.
So they actually are like a heat-seeking missile for failure, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Okay. And remember, let's go back to brain science. You've got this thing in your brain called the amygdala. Mm-hmm. And the amygdala's job is to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. And the amygdala can't stand uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So if you've been going through life unsuccessfully, you know how to be sick. You know that people will respond to you with sympathy. But you have no idea how people are going to respond to you if you're successful.
Yeah, right. Like you might lose some friends. They'll be envious. And you
probably will.
Yeah.
And so your amygdala is going, oh, that's really dangerous. Back off. Mm-hmm. And that's what people do. It has to do with their identity. I'm a person who's always broke, or I'm not successful. Why does so-and-so do it and I can't? Some of us, and you're certainly in that category, are born with a can-do attitude. We somehow, I think there's something genetic to it, mm-hmm. because it's not like I was encouraged to be who I've become. Mm-hmm. And it takes a certain amount of determination. You know, I had this little dog who is the most persistent thing. She was just born with persistence. And some people are just better at it than others. And until they hurt so badly that they're willing to change, and even then, they still want someone to rescue them. Mm-hmm. They haven't been taught how to be self-sufficient.
So what do they do? How do they fix that? How do they teach themselves?
They often don't. I mean, anybody...
Well, Joan, you're not giving us much hope here. if someone is listening and they're thinking, that's me she's talking about.
Okay, you know, right? Well, that person has to say to themselves, am I willing to do whatever it's going to take for me to get where I want to go? Mm-hmm. Because no one's going to do it for you. I love your real estate model. I tell a lot of people about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, people say, I want to invest in real estate. And I'll say, well, there's this guy who buys homes in emerging markets and takes care of it for you. But if a person has a need for failure, mm-hmm. even going through someone like you, it's not going to work.
Right.
Because they're not going to put the energy into it. And so someone has to be motivated. Can you give someone motivation? I don't know. I mean, anyone who's in the business that I'm in knows that only 2% of people who really want to change actually make the change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just part of human nature. I mean, look at all the people who are obese. Mm-hmm. They know there's another way.
Right. Yeah. Right. And the interesting thing about the obesity thing is that's completely self-imposed. Now, admittedly, I'll be the first to tell you, the food supply is poison. There are food deserts where you can't get decent food. But, you know, it can be done. Certainly not
everybody is obese, right? So we know there's evidence that, you know, you don't have to fall for the Monsanto food poisoning conspiracy. But, you know, it's not easy necessarily to...
Oh, no. A doctor told me in 1973, a doctor said to me, if you stop eating sugar, you won't be depressed anymore. Mm-hmm. I went home and gave up sugar. Mm-hmm. I have not eaten sugar in almost 45 years.
Added sugar. Yeah, of course. Right.
For a long time, I couldn't even eat fruit.
Wow.
And I couldn't eat carbohydrates. I was on a very limited diet because every time I would eat the sugar, I mean, I had a cookie once. And if I had too much fruit, I'd become depressed. Mm-hmm. I was determined not to be depressed.
Yep.
You have to be determined to make really positive change. Mm-hmm. But I know it's possible. I was sick, dependent, broke all the time, and I'm not anymore.
Right. You know? Yeah. So, good for you.
But no one did it for me. I had to be willing to say no to the doctors. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear stories about people who are sick because of the medications they've been on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the whole pharmaceutical industry is such a massive scam.
Right.
People that sort of have this belief system of that there's a pill for everything, right?
Right.
And, you know, we've all known people like that. Get off the pharmaceutical drugs. I mean, just do whatever you can. Of
right.
course, sometimes you need them. But really,
not very often.
a lot less than our doctor community would have you believe, okay?
Okay, so I want to know what the core problem is.
Yeah. Okay.
And the core problem is we don't teach people how to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Just like we don't teach them how to take care of their money. We teach people, let the doctor do it. We just don't empower people early enough in their lives. More and more of it is happening with children. But it's almost as if the people in power want to keep us in servitude they have worker bees.
Well,
there's
a very good argument for that.
Right. So it's really basically, what is the decision you're going to make about who you are and how you want to live your life?
Mm-hmm.
And are you willing to do whatever is necessary to make it happen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, giving up sugar, not eating any added sugar for 45 years. I have read every single
pretty
label.
Pretty amazing. Wow.
Every single label that has ever been printed.
Mm-hmm.
Well. And it's just what I told myself. It's discipline. You need discipline, determination, and a burning desire to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. Joan, give out your website. Tell people where they can find out more.
Prosperityplace.com has all my information, and I have a podcast called The Prosperity Show.
Fantastic. Joan, thank you so much for joining us again.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.